Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, earlier this week, we heard one of Deshaun Watson's accusers speak publicly for the first time. And now, high-profile sponsors Nike and Beats by Dre have halted their deals with the quarterback. This morning, Mike Freeman, the race and inequality editor of USA Today, asked what it will take for the league to take action and possibly put him on the exempt list now that the sheer volume of lawsuits against Watson has reached 22. So, Shannon, what is your reaction to what Freeman wrote?
The NFL's in a very tough spot, Skip. They don't want to feel like they're overstepping their boundaries, although Article 46 gives Commissioner Goodell the complete authority. He doesn't need a charge. He doesn't need a conviction to intervene and take whatever actions he deems appropriate because of conduct detrimental, what he would deem conduct detrimental to the league. I just think the thing is they're in a very, this is an ultimate spot. And if you put him on the commissioner's exempt list, it's almost like, yeah, we believe he's guilty. Because everybody that's been on this list, Skip, what they had actually, you know, we saw what Ray Rice, we saw the video. We saw what Adrian Peterson and his child, what was going on in Houston. Rusty Harden also defended him in that case. Greg Hardy. I think those are the only three guys, Skip, I can recall off the top of my head that's been on the, I didn't even know anything about a commissioner's exempt list until they got placed on it.
And none in the offseason, all during seasons.
Season, right.
Okay, so go ahead.
Right. And so that's another thing.
Yep.
Basically, what you would be saying, and I don't think they have this to worry about, Deshaun, you can't come around the Houston Texans. I'm not so sure. Deshaun doesn't want to come around them, and I'm not so sure at this point they want him to come around them. Mm-hmm. So for me, Skip, I think just just to show the outside world, we still have a pulse of this. We're going to place him on the commissioner's exempt list. We're going to gather as much information as we can.
Yep.
And we're going to proceed accordingly. Now, Skip, like I said, they don't need charges. They don't need a conviction because the players have given Commissioner Goodell the authority through Article 46 to take the necessary steps appropriate that he deems. Not what they think. Man, that ain't right, man. That's a bull jive. I ain't even got charged. You don't need to. Mm. He says, this is what, because when he, if I'm not mistaken, Skip, he suspended Ben Roethlisberger, and there were no charges.
No charges.
He said,
six games, no charges.
He said, the look that this is for the league and the expectation that we have as a league and the fans have, you've underperformed. So I believe that is the next step. The volume of women, Skip, you know, I one or two, even though one or two should be heard. But because of the sheer volume, I think it's too much. I think it's too many now for the NFL to pretend as if they don't hear it, they don't know it. They knew it if it was one or two. Mm-hmm. But I think what they should do now is just go ahead and place him on this list. Mm-hmm. It is the offseason. That means he's not going to be able to come around the team. He can have no contact with the team. Mm-hmm. It's not like they were in contact anyway, Skip. But I think this is the thing for the NFL to show, okay, we're taking these allegations serious.
Yep.
We're taking these women serious, and this is the stuff that we've deemed that are appropriate at this time.
Okay. First, I will comment on Mr. Mike Freeman, who is the race and inequality editor for USA Today Sports. Mm-hmm. He's a prominent black voice in sports media.
Yes.
For whom I have respect. He wrote a scathing piece about the NFL's inactivity. Mm-hmm. And I agree with all the points he made because they are irrefutable.
Right.
Scathing but irrefutable. I don't agree with his conclusion. He concludes that the inaction makes it seem like the NFL doesn't care, like it's waiting for the whole thing to blow over. No.
No.
That's not happening.
No.
Reportedly, the NFL is going about interviewing all of the 22 women who filed suits, and I'm assuming the one woman who went straight to the police.
Right.
There was the woman who spoke only to Sports Illustrated. I'm sure they are doing their due diligence because they have to.
Right.
They learned a painful lesson over the Rice, the way they handled
that.
And they're all over this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a tricky situation right now because you have to try to get to the bottom of it before you take the action. And then the next thing is, what action
right.
do you want them to take other than the exempt list, which has never been used in the offseason?
Right.
We have both agreed for weeks now. Looks like you need to go ahead and put him on ice, so
right.
to speak. Put him on the exempt list.
Correct.
And see how this thing continues to play out.
Right.
But when we're talking about, you know, his initial question is, how many women accusers does it take before you do act against Deshaun Watson? Well, I'm with you, because he starts asking, well, is it 5? Well, we passed that. Is it 10? Whoops. 15? 20? We're past what? We're to 22.
Mm-hmm.
Get that. All of them, as he says, various but similar accusations of sexual misconduct. We get it.
Right.
All on the record. We got that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes through and shoots down point by point the points that Deshaun defenders have made.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure via the internet,
right.
whatever, Twitter, whichever, Instagram. And he starts off, Deshaun has a sterling reputation. And he says, Mike Freeman says, so did Bill Cosby. Well, that's scathing, but okay,
right.
we get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then next, hey, wait a minute. None of them have gone to the police. Well, one just went to the police. Next, the lawyer is a carnival barker. Well, we get that. He ran for mayor,
yeah.
ran for another political office.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Freeman says, that may be true. But if it's all fake, it's one of the greatest fakes in history. If all 22 plus,
right.
there are really 23 accusers
right.
now. Well, I think we agree. That would be, if you could pull that off, that'd be the greatest
right.
fake in NFL history. And also, Busby is doing all this at his own peril because he's risking his reputation. If it's all fraudulent, then obviously he would look pretty bad.
Yeah, and
okay?
I don't know what type of reputation he has in Houston. So
I don't know. And then final thought was, well, all the women have been anonymous. Well, we just heard from a couple of them, one very publicly,
right.
As she read her mm-hmm. statement. Okay, and then finally, there's the woman who's interviewed by Sports Illustrated. So if you believe that all Busby's clients are lying as part of a mass conspiracy, well, then this is the one who's not his client, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the woman who went independently to
right.
Sports Illustrated is not Busby's client.
Right.
So you even have some validation from somebody who is not represented by
right.
this quote-unquote carnival barker.
Right.
Okay, we get all of the above.
Right.
As we keep saying, the mounting body of accusations, the magnitude, it's so severe that it pushes you to say, whew, man.
Right.
It feels like something happened here
right.
that needs to be dealt with by the league. And now we get to, but how? How? Why? How do you?
That's the thing, Skip. I mean, do you suspend him? I'm talking about just flat out suspend him. Is that what Mike Freeman is calling for? Is that what people want, just to be flat out suspended?
Then for how long? Well, I'm sure they're weighing their options
right.
for how long.
Suspended, I guess you have to say suspended indefinitely.
Indefinitely. Suspended for a year? Well, obviously, could this play out in a real court of law? Yes, it could.
Oh, I believe it's headed
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could have court of criminal law plus the civil case.
Right.
right.
Right? Yes.
Okay, so we get all that, and I appreciate what he wrote, but it's still a very tricky spot that the NFL is in right now, and I don't believe they're inactive. I believe they are quietly going about the business they need to be going about.
Yeah, they don't want to be running into another situation because everybody believed they jumped the gun on Deflategate. Everybody believed they jumped the gun on Zeke Elliott's situation. So they don't want to be in another situation because the players really don't trust the NFL when it comes to these situations anyway because
yeah.
they don't believe you're qualified. You're in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
You're not the law enforcement or the SVU, you know what I'm saying, Skip? That's not your level of expertise. Although you have people that, you know, you brought Lisa Frill and you brought a lot of people on
yeah.
in this capacity, Skip, at the end of the day, the NFL is an entertainment business.
Yep. Yeah.
And so that's what they do really, really well. That's why they was able to make these owners wealthy, even wealthier than what they were before because they understand how to put a big, a great product on. They do a great job, and the networks do a great job of partnering and businessing with them to put on a great show for the viewing audience. Mm-hmm. But I, like I said, I mean, you suspend them indefinitely, and then what? For some, that's still not going to be enough.
Yep.
I guess they want him, you know, just banned before we even go to trade, just banned him forever, before we even get a, go to court and hear all the facts. So
okay. So final point. Referring to the letter that Roger Goodell wrote to Ben Roethlisberger in 2010 before he suspended him six, or as he suspended him for six games. I quote, the personal conduct policy, this is from Roger, the personal conduct policy makes it clear that I may impose discipline even where the conduct does not result in conviction of a crime. Okay, so he has broad powers.
Yes.
And at some point, trust me, he will step back and he will rule on this.
Because that's what happened, Skip, is that they were saying that when the NFL wasn't intervening, they said, well, there are no charges. And they said, well, you suspended such and such and you didn't have no evidence. So you're the NFL. You can do whatever you want to do. So then he started suspending people without charges. Like, well, he ain't got no charges. So Roger Goodell, he can never win. Mm-hmm. Because if you suspend someone in the court of... And the law enforcement and the court of law says, nah, we don't see anything. They're like, well, hold on. How do you take precedent over that? And that's their job. That's not your job. So Roger Goodell, no matter what he does, there's going to be a fragment, a segment of population that's going to be upset because they say you overstepped your boundaries. So he can't win. Mm-hmm. But that's why you make $50 million a year, Raj. That's why you can get paid the big bucks. So Jerry Jones and all the other owners don't have to worry about that. So all the blowback gets splattered on you. Mm. All that you know what gets splattered on him. Everybody, Jerry Jones and Mr. Kraft, they counting 100 million, 200 million, 300. They counting them checks.
Well, I would not want to be sitting in Roger's seat.
No. Not when it comes to this situation like this, Skip. Yep. Just when after I do the deal with the network. Hey, you see what I got, y'all?
Yeah.
Do I get a bonus with this? I want to be sitting in those, not with this.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew, ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids, just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me. Or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Well, yesterday, the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Office said that Tiger Woods' crash from February was due to excessive speeds. Tiger was driving between 84 and 87 miles per hour downhill in a 45 mile per hour zone, and his vehicle was going 75 when it hit a tree, according to Sheriff Alex Villanueva. So, Shannon, what do you make of this latest information here?
This is very, very concerning for me, Skip. First, he's lucky to be alive.
Oh.
Let's start with that. And I'm glad, because someone was watching over you, Tiger Woods, and I don't think you realize just how fortunate you are.
Hit a tree at 75?
I don't even want to get into the look of this, because when I heard how fast he was going and no skid marks and the level he hit the tree, something popped into my head, but I won't even put that out there, Skip. I'm not going to even put that out there.
Okay.
I don't think the sheriff had any choice. FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. I think the people, they're going to hold his feet to the fire. He's going to have to release this information because this would have been unprecedented. Because if you
can. By the way, you were scathing in your criticism of him.
Yes.
When was it? A couple of weeks ago.
We're not going to release it. Because under that premise, Skip, no defendant will allow you to release information. If I had a DUI, I'm not going to tell you something happened. No, I want you to release that information.
Yes.
You couldn't do that.
Because he said we needed him to sign off.
Right. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
And then another problem that I got, well, I just want to be clear that. Drugs or alcohol was not really. How do you know? Without the toxicology report, you cannot say definitively. Now, I'm not willing to say that they were, but given his history, you can't exclude that.
Yep.
So for you to say that, Skip, there's a reason why you take that. There have been a lot of people that have died under the that did what Tiger did and died. And we found out later they were under the influence. Mm-hmm. But because you took the toxicology, you take no toxicology. And then you turn around and say, well, we're not going to charge him, even though he was going 40 plus miles an hour over the speed limit. Well, what you have to do in order to charge somebody for speeding, you have to have a superseding fact. You have to have an improper lane change. What? Skip, I've never heard that in my life. So in other words, if I get on the 405, if I just stay in the right lane and I just take off and go 120, you can't charge me with speeding because I didn't do anything improper to precede the speeding. That's absurd. Everybody knows, Skip, he's supposed to get something. He's supposed to get, reckless driving.
Yep.
Driving too fast for conditions. But come on. I'm glad Tiger's alive. I'm glad Tiger Woods is alive.
But I'm glad nobody else lost their life.
Yep. But to go to travel at this rate of speed, at this time of the morning, in this manner, to say the least, is reckless. That's reckless driving.
Yeah.
They can charge you with that. You don't want to charge him with speed and charge him with reckless driving. But to basically let him come off unscathed, but because, well, he did get hurt pretty bad, that's he chose to do that. No, that was not a malfunction of the vehicle. Tiger Woods chose to drive at a high rate of speed and put himself in harm's way. I knew this was going to come out sooner or later.
Yep.
There's no way you could hide up under the guise, well, we have to get his clearance to release this information. I knew that didn't pass the smell test. And I only had, senior law classes at Savannah State. So I knew this wasn't going to fly.
So when we last spoke about this, I said, gee, Tiger suffered enough. I'm not going to get all worked up about it. But I didn't know these facts that they were forced to release yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Hear what you said, forced.
They were forced. It's good to have friends in high places.
Mm-hmm.
This is favorable treatment at the highest level.
Yes.
And I just want to drive home the point. He was traveling 87 miles an hour in a 45 zone.
Mm-hmm.
It is downhill. But then, according to the sheriff and the other sheriff in the jurisdiction closest to the accident, there's no evidence
that
he hit the brake at all.
Thank you.
He did not swerve. He did not brake. 87 miles an hour? You go over the median through two oncoming lanes of traffic. Thank God you missed those cars. And then you continue on. You slow down a little bit to 75, and you hit a tree pretty much head on, it looked like.
Right.
And you live to tell about it. Thank you, God, for that one. But now you're telling me that it's, so to speak, pilot error, because they said they believe that he mistakenly, instead of hitting the brake, pressed back down on the gas. Well, who does that?
No.
Who does that under duress? Do you panic and just push harder down on the accelerator? Arguably the greatest golfer ever who has supreme hand-eye coordination. I just find that preposterous.
I do.
Right?
So do I.
So, no toxicology report, yet they continue to insist that because the official said Woods told deputies that he had not ingested medication or alcohol before the crash.
What the hell is he supposed to say?
Okay, well, they did think he was in his right mind, but there's no toxicology.
But there's no
blood test.
But remember, there was someone on the scene said Tiger Woods was unconscious when he got there.
He said he
has no memory of what happened.
Look, obviously, he had just had back surgery, so it was possible that he was still on some medication,
right.
Some pain-killing medication for the recent back surgery. And we know of two incidents before, especially the one where he was found sort of asleep behind the wheel.
Right.
And then there was a blood test taken.
Right.
And he had all kinds of sleeping aids and pain medication in his system. And he just fell asleep behind the wheel of a running car, just sitting out in the middle traffic.
And the incident that really led to everything going downhill that night.
That was the second one. Yeah, or that was
the first one.
Yeah, before this one.
So we can't, we can't rule that out.
Yep.
History plays a role.
It does.
In everything. His history says that he's gotten behind the wheel under the, with things in his system that he shouldn't have, or he shouldn't be operating a vehicle. But for you to continue, who are you trying to convince that Tiger was not under the influence? Oh, he told us. Man, you had somebody go, hey, what am I supposed to tell you? Man, I had like 17. You see a bit when they, I used to watch cops, they pull somebody over. I had one beer. Well, actually, you had a case. You got a case of empty cans in the car right now. And you talking about you had one beer. So what's he supposed to tell you? Man, I had been drinking since midnight. Well, it's 7 a.m. Of course he going to tell you I didn't have anything. Mm. Why didn't you take the toxicology report, the test? Because you subpoenaed for the black box. That's what I don't get, Skip. That's when it started. Hold on. So why you, if you said, hey, nothing happened, he wasn't an influence, why did you need the black box? Because you knew this what it didn't pass the smell test.
Mm-mm.
And then other people were telling me, well, Shannon, you know, he can't release it because of what transpired with Kobe. That's a totally different issue. Vanessa wasn't suing because the National Transportation Board deemed it was pilot error. Mm-hmm. She's suing because someone that didn't have anything to do with the case took pictures. And showed them to other people that had nothing to do with the case.
Yep.
That's what she's suing about. Not because that was above their grade. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They couldn't tell you what happened to the helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the fact, the aftermath.
These were policemen on the scene taking pictures of the carnage.
Right? Yeah. And then displaying them to show to people that has nothing to do with the crime scene or to determining what happened with the accident scene mm-hmm. or determining what happened to the crane, the crash.
Yep.
That's what she's suing about. This was a totally separate issue. But for you to keep saying there was no alcohol, there was no impairment, for you to keep saying that you don't know.
Mm.
Skip, there's a lot of actors that have died mysteriously. We would have never known had there not been a toxicology report. We've seen a lot of people get in accident, high-profile play. As a matter of fact, Rasul Butler played in the NBA, Skip. They told you how fast he was going and what he had in his system.
Yep. Okay.
Tiger Woods going between 84 and 87. Strikes a tree head on at 75 miles an hour. There's no skid marks. Like I said, I mean, I have my own theories, but hey.
Well, in the end, we're just thankful nobody got killed, including this man.
Yes.
Yep.
He might be a cat. Because he done used about 3 of his lives, Skip.
Yeah, I know. Yep, you're right.
Well, and you know, the only person that really ultimately knows what happens is Tiger Woods. And right now he's recovering. And we'll wait and see if he decides to speak more about what happened to him. And that's all we have right now.
No mercy.
Saturday night, the NASCAR Cup Series moves to FS1, where we could see our 8th different winner of the season. Charlie short track action with the Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief 500 from Martinsville Saturday at 7 Eastern on FS1 and anywhere on the Fox Sports app. So, Kevin Durant finally returned from missing the past 23 games and could not have been more efficient. Coming off the bench, KD scored 17 points on 5 of 5 shooting from the floor that included 2 3-pointers and a perfect 5 for 5 from the free throw line. Kyrie led the team with 24 points last night. And as we've discussed on the show, James Harden was playing at an MVP level until he recently tweaked his hamstring, which they're going to be watching. So Fox Sports NBA analyst Chris Broussard is with us now. Chris, can you see the Nets winning it all?
Jen, that's all I can see practically. I see that as clearly as I can see Skip's pocket square. I mean, this is an embarrassment of riches. Look, if everybody's healthy, Kevin Durant, James Harden, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Joel Embiid, everyone, I only see one team out there that can beat the Brooklyn Nets, and that's the Brooklyn Nets. It has to be some type of implosion. Like, Kyrie, he's not in the mental space he needs to be in. He gets tired of James Harden handling the ball and making the decisions. Blake Griffin gets tired of kind of being a role player. DeAndre Jordan is upset that he's not getting the same minutes now because LaMarcus Aldridge is a starter. Like, it has to be some type of internal strife or problem for this team to lose because they just have too much. And I've been concerned about it's completely unprecedented for a team to play probably what will be about 15 games together with their big three before they get into the playoffs. We've never seen a team do that and win a championship. But I was talking to Kerry Kittles, the former Net who played in two finals with Jason Kidd years ago. We talked earlier this week, and he was saying, look, today's NBA is just so simple where every team does the same thing. It's all high pick and roll or drive and kick, spot up by the three-point line, or roll to the basket as a big man for an alley-oop or something like that. Every team's doing it. It's not like 15 years ago where some teams did this, some teams did that. Everybody had different identities, and it would take you a while to develop some type of chemistry. Now, and I think he's right, because you saw last night, I mean, Kevin Durant just fit in like he hadn't been gone. When James Harden got there, he fit in like he hadn't been gone. So they can get an open shot every time down the floor because they got three guys that can beat you off the dribble, and thus you're going to have to double team them or they're going to go all the way to the rim and finish. And when you double team them, they're kicking it to a great shooter in Joe Harris. Now a guy that can shoot in Blake Griffin. LaMarcus Aldridge can shoot. Not to mention KD or James Harden. Like, it is just, this team looks like it could be one of the best teams we've ever seen, let alone the best team this season.
Yeah, they look great. There's no way around it. They looked unbelievable. Kevin Durant picked right up where he left off, where I thought he would, because he's a three-level player. He can do it all. I think the thing is that you look at LaMarcus Aldridge. He's playing better now with the net skill than he did the last 2 to 3 years that he played with your Spurs. And Greg Popovich probably looking at him like, why can you give us that? But, hey, he was unhappy with his role in San Antonio.
See, Kawhi was unhappy. LaMarcus.
Hey, don't. Hey.
Maybe it's a Popovich problem.
Don't do that, Skip. No. Pop is the guy. Mm. You got Blake, who's a good role player.
Never thought he'd be called a role player, but go ahead.
What he is, Skip.
Yep.
And he's like, well, people said I wasn't any good. No, you stay same player. You just can't carry a team like you were supposed to do with the Clippers, what you were supposed to do with the Pistons. In this role, you're fitting a role. They got three other guys that's going to do the heavy lifting. I love Nick Claxton. You're right, Chris. DeAndre Jordan, is he going to get upset? Because it ain't like he's got his minutes cut. He's not playing. And then they got, I just want to say his name, Alizé. Oh, Alizé Johnson. You don't know Alizé? Chris, you know Alizé for the crib? He's getting major minutes. So they're loaded. Now, Skip, now, when I look at this, Chris, Philly, after watching them, they're better than I thought because you know why? They can play defense. They got Tobias Harris that can guard, Ben Simmons that can guard, Danny Green that can guard, Joel Embiid, hey, he's in the running for Defensive Player of the Year, and Milwaukee with Holiday, Giannis, Chris Middleton. So it's going to be very, very...
And they beat these Nets.
They got to hope the Nets have a couple... They got to have a couple of bad games. I can see the Sixers pushing them to 7 games. I don't know if they can beat them, but I see the Sixers can push them to 7 games. I don't know if Milwaukee has enough firepower at the end of the day to beat them.
So, Chris, back to you. You've been covering this league for a long time. I have been covering and closely following this league for an even longer time than you have. In all my days, I have never seen a team this deep in talent. In all my days, you can go back, all the greatest teams we ever covered, nobody has had this depth of talent that the Nets have assembled, because no team has ever had 6 players on its roster who have made multiple all-NBA teams. This is the first one ever. And all the players that Shannon named down the line, it's an embarrassment, as you said, of riches. And I've told Shannon again and again, only the Nets can beat the Nets. Well, now only familiarity could could undermine the Nets because they just haven't played enough together. But I was just dumbfounded watching Kevin Durant, who immediately turned rust to dust last night because he just walks in and is like, can we see that first shot? He just comes off a low pick and just runs to the elbow, and Kyrie says, here. And he just turns around and does what he always does, like he hadn't missed a beat. And he rips his mid-range elbow jump shot, which he is lethal at doing. And he goes 5 for 5, and he has 7 rebounds, and he has 5 assists, and he looked like he'd never left. And it looks like their chemistry is so natural that they're almost arrogant about it in a good way. Mm-hmm. They're just all like giggling about it. This is fun. This is so easy. It looks like the game is too easy for them, but all the pieces are fitting right before your very eyes. I just don't know if the big three have had enough reps together to withstand some kind of playoff adversity, because right. You know they're going to get faced with, they'll lose a game one or maybe a game two, and all of a sudden they'll have to go somewhere else, and it's going to be 1-1
right.
at the other
right.
arena.
And you have to take back home court by winning on the road.
You have to show us what you're made of.
Right.
You have to, under fire, show us that you guys can share the ball like you shared it last night. As Kevin said after the game, we just move bodies and move the basketball. It's easy. Well, it looked easy last night because you just obliterated the Pelicans.
Yeah.
So my question is, I just don't know about familiarity. That's the only question I have, because if that doesn't matter, if chemistry really doesn't matter, if it's just natural chemistry, they're going to just wipe out the East, and I fear they're going to wipe out the Clippers in the finals because it's going to be the Clippers winning the West. Yeah.
Well, Skip, you're right. I mean, and that's been my concern, too. But as I talk to people around the league, not everyone says this, but more people than not say it doesn't matter. That them playing 15 to 20 games together before the playoffs is enough, which sounds ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Because in the however long they've had basketball, we've never seen this.
No,
we've never seen it. The Celtics, when they came together, right, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kevin Garnett, they played all season together. And they got pushed in those first two rounds. Both rounds, they went 7 games. And then 6 in the conference finals and 6 in the finals. So even for them, it was easy. I think this team has a few things going for it otherwise. One, you can see they all are bought in, at least at this point, right? Yeah. Blake and LaMarcus, they look relieved. Like, the burden of carrying a franchise is no longer on me.
Right.
I'm happy mm-hmm. to be this role. That's what they look like.
Yep.
And everybody else, you know, they're coming together at the right time where they've all done great things individually. All they want to do is win a title. That's the only thing they can do to add to each of their individual legacies is win another championship or the first championship for some of the guys. So that is something that's really working in their favor. And then the role players, you mentioned Blake looking great, LaMarcus. It's because the other guys, they've either got 2 or 3 stars out there. It's been 2 for now. But they draw so much attention that Blake is wide open and LaMarcus is wide open. Heck, Claxton, Bruce Brown, Joe Harris, TLC, Jeff Green, they look great too. Like, that's the thing. When you have stars that draw so much attention, we know this. Everybody in the NBA can play. None of them are scrubs. They just can't create their own stuff at that level. But when you give them open shots,
right,
at the rim if they're a big man, or in the perimeter if they're a shooter, they're going to hit them.
You're right, but that's the thing. You said Blake and LaMarcus is not required to carry a team. That's a heavy burden. Everybody says, I want that responsibility. I want to carry a team. But can you? Do you really want that when the expectations are night in and night out? We saw it. Now, a lot of this, Blake, his body failed him. Skip, the legs, his knees, mm-hmm. they just gave out on him. He started getting, every other week he had an injury that kept him out for a week or 2 weeks. LaMarcus should have stayed in Portland with CJ and Dame. I believe he'd have been better off there than he ever was in San Antonio, Skip. But Dame had started to grow, and he wanted his own team because Dame was starting to challenge him. And he went down to San Antonio, and lo and behold, there was a homegrown kid that when Tim Duncan left, Pop gave him the responsibility.
He did.
And he took the team over. Yep. So LaMarcus was like, damn, I left there to come here to be the man, and you got the man in plain sight and didn't know it.
Okay, so final X factor in this equation. They have a first-year head coach who had never coached before, two-time league MVP, but Steve Nash had never coached. And so far, so good, because he seems to be pushing all the right buttons, even though Kyrie initially said, we don't even need a coach.
They don't
and even though you pointed out, Shannon Sharp, that Steve Nash was not like pleased that Kyrie did not give him any heads up on his hiatus that he took,
right?
But so far, maybe they don't need a coach. I don't know. Maybe he's just going along.
Somebody got to call timeout. Yep. You know what I'm saying, Chris? Somebody got to, you know, I mean, the players don't really call timeout unless they get in a crowded situation with the ball. But other than that, his job is to call timeouts to suppress the runs. When somebody go on a 10-0 run or a 12-2 run, you see Steve hit him with a quick one, right? That's his job.
Okay, but somebody has to say, no, you can't go back in the game because you can't play seven guys at once, because I'm sure a lot of guys would like to go get their minutes,
No. The only three guys' minutes that you're worried about is those big three guys. Everybody else, you get what's left over of the minutes.
Okay, but somebody will complain at some point, because they always do.
Well, you're only going to get like 3 months to complain, because we're going to get you up out of here. Because they got a good thing. Don't mess that up.
You're going to get them up out of here?
Yeah. Hold on. Who's going to complain? Well, you know the big three is not going to complain, because it's their hide that's on the line. But Skip, if they don't win a championship, they're not going to blame Blake. They're not going to blame LaMarcus, Chris. They're going to blame the big three.
Right.
So as long as the big three are happy, everybody else is going to get a chance to eat.
So are you willing to concede right now the next
one? No.
No?
Because LeBron, that ankle getting ready. That ankle getting ready and rest. We rested.
Really?
Rested.
Huh. Rest and no rust for LeBron?
Hey, Chris, when GOAT, baby GOAT, and old Shaq Drummond, it's over. It's over, Chris.
So that's your victory. You know, the Nets have only had their big three, like you guys have pointed out, for seven games. So we are far
from seeing their potential. We had one game without big three.
Far from knowing just how good the Nets have the ability of
big
being.
Big
Chris, we appreciate you joining us.
No mercy.
For the first time since his ankle injury, we have now seen Dak Prescott throwing passes on the field. According to Ian Rappaport, Dak is expected to be ready to go for training camp, but the Cowboys won't do anything to put him at risk while on the practice field. So, Shannon, do you believe that Dak will be 100% by week one?
I do. Dak injured his ankle in week five. It's almost going to be about 11 months, Skip. That's more than time enough to heal. I believe Dak will be back, and he'll be the Dak that we saw before he got injured. Skip, Dak is not a scrambling quarterback. He's mobile. He can move, but he's not looking to run like Lamar or Kyler Murray. That's not what he is. He's looking to try to throw the ball down the field. Dak runs if you dare him to run. Even you've called for this, should run Dak, you know, call
a
more design.
More.
Yeah, a little bit more design run. But I think Dak should play. That was a freak accident that happened with that freak injury. I don't think it's going to curtail Dak's play or the way he plays in any way. So I expect to see Dak this year the way that I've seen him for the past 5 years, playing football the way he knows how, going out there, being smart, and then throwing the ball and trying to win games.
So as happy as I was to see him throwing in the video we just saw,
right,
he did look a little ginger to me, just a little stiff-legged, like he wasn't cutting completely loose, like his legs were not quite working in sync the way they usually do. But he's coming off not one but two surgeries on that ankle. He needed a second one just to make sure it was working right. And again, he's been telling people, I could be 120%. Like, I'll be better than ever.
Right.
Well, I sure hope
May, June, July, they don't have training camp until July, so we got still another 3 months.
Yeah, so they are saying they're going to protect him in camp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much I don't know what we're going to do. Are we going to have a preseason or not? I think we are.
Yeah.
Hope so.
They're saying they want three games.
Yeah, okay. So he will play very sparingly, if at all, in the preseason, I suspect.
Mm-hmm.
All I care about is game number one.
Right.
Because obviously they have spent a huge chunk of their salary cap to re-sign him. He got the biggest signing.
It ain't count for $22 million. I ain't no money.
Okay, but that's the first year. Then it goes to like 38 and 44 and, you know, 47, right? Okay, so he got the biggest signing bonus in the history of the National Football League, the most guaranteed money in the history of the National Football League. And obviously, I need him as a huge fan to be able to live up to that. Mm-hmm. So he's got to be 120% healthy. So I'm hoping against hope that he's going to be right for game one, because this is serious business that he went through.
NFC Championship game, justify the contract. If he gets to the NFC Championship game this year.
Justify the contract?
Yeah.
I need one Super Bowl. You mean this year or over the four?
No, well, obviously you want a Super Bowl. I'm just saying this year. If he gets to the NFC Championship game this year.
I won't specify this year, because then I'll jinx this year. But I will tell you, over four, I need a Super Bowl championship.
If you get one,
4 years, absolutely worth every last penny. If he's the reason, which he will have to be, that they go win a Super Bowl, yes, sir. You better believe it.
Well, you know what that means. That's gonna happen. So the next contract gonna be $50 million a year.
Okay,
you good with that?
He'd be worth it if he won one Super Bowl.
Hey, that's.
I remind you, Jerry Jones has three Lombardi trophies in his office. The last one was won off the 1995 season.
Yeah, he got those in his first 5 years though.
Okay.
And he's been owning the team for 30 years.
And since then, he has not even been back to one NFC Championship game. So I'm not gonna jinx this year by buying into your. Is it okay if he gets it? Okay. Yeah. No, I don't want.
This year, what's the expectation this year? Win the division, because we already got a bet on that one.
Yeah, well, that's easy. They can win this division by default.
Yeah, hold on. You gave me the field, though. You gave me the rest of the team.
I gave you everybody, and I fear Jalen Hurts the most, but I don't really fear Fitzmagic. I don't.
Oh, you fear Fitzmagic? He already done that to Tom Brady twice.
Okay, but you're betting on Daniel Jones.
I'm betting on. I ain't got to bet on nobody.
Yep.
I got the division like you did me. You didn't have to bet on anybody. You were just taking everybody that played Gonzaga until somebody came along and beat them. So I don't have to bet on anybody. I got the field. I got Washington Football Team, the Giants, or the Eagles. Whichever beats the Cowboys.
Okay, but I have Dak Prescott in a division without a credible quarterback yet until Jalen Hurts turns into that.
Guess what?
But that team is not good
enough. That's what the other team said about the same division. Mm. We in this division with not another credible quarterback. They said that about your team, too.
They're not saying that.
Yeah, they are. You make it seem like you got Aaron Rodgers or Mahomes or Brady.
Well,
you don't.
I got two Pro Bowls. What you got?
Hold on.
You got none.
No, we got none. But that guy that went to the Pro Bowl, he retired. He in Indy now.
Yeah.
Oh, walking tour.
Oh, well,
walking tour.
Good luck to them.
They gonna win the division.
Really?
They gonna win the division.
Oh, do we have one case on that?
Yeah, we got a case on it.
Okay, thank you.
You do? All right.
You made the bet.
I walked into it.
Slurping Duke. No mercy.